classic, because, you know, us biggins, we tend to like a little bit colder weather, but...
You had mentioned Senate reform in the special session, and Senator Chris Elliott also got into that issue on Dr. Lou's talk show earlier this week. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, a bill was passed through both houses, and, you know, there was some disagreement there. Senator Elliott did end up voting against the bill, but what it does is it takes the 2015 sentencing reform that the state did, and it applies those same rules to the people that may have been sentenced before that, sentenced and put in our prisons before that bill got passed.
Okay.
So in some ways, it's just kind of equalizing that law and applying that law to the folks who maybe
instead of extending it, it's making it retroactive.
It's making it a little retroactive to some of those folks that have been into prison, and you know, if they had committed that crime after 2015, they would have been eligible for you know, the applications of that reform law, but because it was before. So in some ways, it's kind of saying it's just kind of equalizing that law and also releasing some of that pressure on some of our prisons, which have been overcrowded. We've had that Department of Justice lawsuit we've been under, and that's one way to address that issue. Now, you know, why Senator Elliott voted against it, he just felt that wasn't the right way to go about doing this process, and he made a very good argument, I believe, earlier this week. Sadly, over the weekend, there was a police officer up in Sheffield, Alabama, that was killed in the line of duty by a person who had been paroled. That does happen sometimes, and that a great tragedy, and maybe that's a conversation that folks need to have. You know, Lori, this is one of those situations where I've got bosses that voted for it, I got bosses that voted against it, and I have no strong opinion about it whatsoever, but that's a conversation that they get to have and debate, and that's why we elect them to do that.
Yeah, and we're glad that they are exerting their opinion and hopefully what they've gleaned the opinion to be of the voters. Tell us again, who are all your bosses and how did the dynamics work in your office?
I tell you, it's never a dull moment in the constituent office, I will say that. So my bosses... why don't we just go from top to bottom? We'll just go from top to bottom and all the way down to the bottom. Top, we got Representative Harry Shiver, old Coach Shiver. Everybody in Alabama knows Coach Shiver, and if you don't, you know somebody that knows him. He's the Kevin Bacon of Alabama. Coach Shiver, though, is going to be retiring at the end of this term. He has served his time in the legislature, and he's ready to get home up there up in Stockton to Miss Jean, and they're going to enjoy them some retirement, do a little traveling. Our senator for up there and a good part of the eastern part of the county, that's going to be Senator Greg Albritton. And Senator Albritton doesn't actually live in Baldwin County. He lives up in Atmore, but his district extends down into here. That's one of those numbers things we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. But Senator Albritton's a great guy to have in our delegation. I've actually known Senator Albritton longer than anybody else in our delegation because back when he ran years ago against Mark Cahey, when Democrat Mark Cahey held the seat, I came down here and campaigned for Senator Albritton over in Citronelle. A buddy of mine was helping run his campaign, so I was walking doors over in Citronelle for Senator Albritton even before I'd moved down here.
How about that?
So we'll keep going downward into, let's go Eastern Shore. We'll go left first. And so that takes us to the district of Representative Matt Simpson, who's got Daphne and Spanish Fort, and reaches over into Mobile some, too. A little Satsuma, Sarah Land action over there. Of course, Senator Chris Elliott, who kind of has the Eastern Shore and the southern part of Baldwin County. You know, constant guest on the show and of media shows in general. You know, Senator Elliott likes the camera.
Some like the media and some don't. But yeah, and the radio before he was big, you know.
I used to be at the newspaper, I will say this. You know, he was always handy for a quote. You know, he's not afraid of jumping out there on stuff.
And
I'll push further down. Joe Faust here in Fairhope. Everybody knows Mr. Faust.
Oh, yeah.
And then far east part of the county is Representative Alan Baker, and then the dean of the Baldwin County Legislative Delegation. Been in the legislature 6 years longer than I have been alive is Representative Steve McMillan.
Is he retiring?
He is retiring, and I will tell you,
What do they think about term limits?
We have term limits, Lori. We do. It's called the ballot box. If you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing, okay, and folks don't think you need to be there anymore, they can send you home with their vote.
Well, isn't that a clever question? I was just getting ready to fuss about how could he be there longer than you've been alive, but you just answered the question.
Well, but then again, too, Lori, look at the legislative accomplishments over the years, too. And because he has some seniority there, you know, as chairman of the county and municipal government, and he's on the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee in both houses, that's the one that picks which bills make it to the calendar and which ones don't. That's a good person to have. And his twin brother's our state treasurer. And while I asked him one day if they did the parent trap every now and then and just swap places.
They do look a lot alike, but not exactly.
Not exactly, but I wondered if maybe they did it, and he kind of looked at me weird, which makes me think he probably hasn't seen the parent trap.
I have to finally, before we run out of time, I have a question that I don't want to put you on the spot, and I don't want it to sound stupid, but if I wonder it, maybe other people do too, what's the difference between a senator and a representative?
Really, it's just district size.
District
size more than anything. I mean, House reps are going to be in the House of Representatives. Those districts tend to be a little bit smaller because there are more members of the House of Representatives.
More rural then, maybe? Or does that really matter?
No, it's not so much that. It's just they represent a smaller number of constituents. It's much like the federal model. You have your congressman, like Jerry Carl, who represents a certain district, you know, there. And then, you know, you have your senators like Tuberville and Shelby that do the whole state. It's similar with the state level. The representatives represent a much smaller, more compact district because, you know, by the Constitution, there are more of them, you know, numbers-wise. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Senate, it's capped out at 30. I never remember how many. It's 30-something. And those districts are a good bit larger and can encompass more areas just to make up those numbers that they need. So I have a perfect example, even in our own delegation. Senator Albritton has parts and pieces or holes of, I think it's 5-6 different counties.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a good bit of the first congressional district almost.
Okay. All right. Well, so maybe that wasn't a stupid question after all.
It's one of those things that, like, a lot of people really don't understand. I get that question a lot.
Okay.
I also get the and I love being able to answer this question because, Laura, you know me, and I'm a know-it-all. You know, I'm that nerd in the room. I was that kid.
But
and
you're
I'm
a journalist,
still that
adult. So if you don't know the answer, you've got to find it.
Oh yeah. So, but a lot of folks sometimes they get confused and they'll call us and, you know, say, y'all need to vote against Joe Biden's big spending bill, and I'm like, well, I think my guys probably are against that thing because they're all Republican, but. You know, we got this darn thing called the U.S. Constitution that doesn't let state legislators vote on federal legislation.
I see what you mean. So, yeah, they go to Montgomery and vote.
And so
they don't go to Washington and vote.
So sometimes, you know, it's that explanation process.
That's an easy mistake.
It's a really easy mistake. And it's one of those things, like, I love helping people. Because I'm like, all right, but hey, here's Jerry Carl's phone number because he's the man. He's your man that can vote.
There you go. Okay. I like having him on as well.
You know, hey, Congressman Carl, he's a heck of a guy, and I'm not just saying that because every now and then I'm able to, you know, sell him some Girl Scout cookies I keep in the freezer.
Isn't there an ethical rule about that? Not as long as you sell them, right?
No, and that's the thing. Like, I always buy a case of them from a little Girl Scout that I know, little Elizabeth. She's good people. I always buy a case of them, and you know, he saw some one day and he was like, oh, I'll buy some. And I took some, and I'll be honest, I just gave the money straight back to the Girl Scouts. I mean, you know, I didn't make no money off the deal. And Girl Scouts is a good organization.
Absolutely.
I wish the Boy Scouts could sell something other than that popcorn, because guys, man, we need Boy Scout cookies or Boy Scout candy or something.
Popcorn's great. You just got a sweet tooth, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
All right, well, it's about time for us to break here. And we'll be back in just a moment. Cliff McCollum with us from the Baldwin County Legislative Degrees in downtown Fairhope. You're with Lori Dubose, and Cliff McCollum, here from the government and here to help. Is that, what do you say?
As always. Of course, I actually mean it, you know. So
you're actually with the Baldwin County Legislative Office as a constituent liaison, which means you are literally here to help, and you get all kinds of calls to your office, such as?
Well, I mean, you know, like I always say when I'm in here, Lori, I've been down in drainage ditches trying to ascertain what's going on there to see if maybe we need to bring in ALDOT or the county to help folks out there. But I'll tell you, I had an interesting one last week, and it's kind of come to an end this week. There was a lady here from Fairhope who passed away up in Jackson County, North Carolina. Highlands area, if you're familiar at all with North Carolina, mm-hmm. which lovely little area. And the person here who was kind of the trustee of the estate and having to handle everything, well, North Carolina messed up the death certificate. They transposed some of the numbers in the Social Security number, so couldn't process it with that because it was an error. And the trustee had reached out to Jackson County, state of North Carolina, and just couldn't get anything out of them to try to get this thing fixed. So they called us. And I'll be honest, this is the first one of an interstate problem that I've had to deal with. But I thought about it for a little while, and I'm like, maybe there's a me in Jackson County, North Carolina. So I did a little searching, and come to find out that there they've got one House rep and one senator there, and the admin assistant and the legislative assistant for the House rep, her name's Miss Deanne Morgan. And I'm going to say her name on the radio because she's just a heck of a person. Big fan. So I reached out to Deanne. She emailed me back straight the next morning because it was late in the afternoon. And, you know, saying we could use all the help you could get. And she emailed me back and said, you know, we are going to work on this immediately. We'll fix this and I'm going to call you. So she called me and said, okay, two things. A, you got a problem with the Bureau of Vital Records and they're the ones who are going to have to fix this. There is nobody in that building right now because more than half the staff had the COVID. So they closed down the building. Everybody was, I don't even think they were working from home. I think they were just home. So she said that her representative, guy by the name of Representative Clampett, no kin to Jed. I asked, and she goes, do you know how many times I hear that? And I said, So Representative Clampett showed up there first thing this Monday morning when they did reopen to meet with the director directly and get this situation sorted out. But she did say that the Bureau of Vital Records up there apparently is the black hole of government for the state of North Carolina. Like, things just go there and never come back. So she was just ridiculously helpful, incredibly kind. And, you know, I was going to send her, you know, just to be nice and friendly, I was going to send some pecans, some good Baldwin County pecans up there to her and the representative to say thank you for helping us and our constituents down here. But, Lori, every state has some version of an ethics law. You know,
I was about to say, I bet you couldn't do it.
Well, and I'm
good old-fashioned thank you note will suffice.
I am glad that I checked because unlike Alabama, where you can send stuff of de minimis value, as long as it's under like $50, it's fine, and it would have been. North Carolina, that ethics law, I mean, you better not even hint about maybe possibly one day in the future, far from now, sending somebody even a Tootsie Roll Pop.
So the long story short is, if someone hits a dead end dealing with, more than likely or not, a bureaucratic agency of some sort, folks may not think to call the Baldwin County Legislative Office, but you serve as that liaison between the residents and the government entities, whether it's the VA, et cetera.
No, and we also work with Congressman Carl, too, and they do a good job handling the federal stuff. I don't so much touch because that's a whole nother level of bureaucracy.
Well, let's get to the special session.
It was special indeed.
And talk about the prison reform. What have they decided to do instead of that borrowing $30 billion to rent prisons that we'd never own that Governor Ivey wanted?
Well, thankfully, there was a joint legislative committee that has been working on this issue nonstop. And actually, Senator Elliott, our own Senator Chris Elliott, was a member of that committee. They had been working really hard on that and came up with what I think is a pretty good construction plan to address some of our needs and repair, replace, and renovate our existing facilities. We're going to build two new facilities. We're also, you know, Senator Elliott, I know he's mentioned it on here before, Lori. I know we've had this conversation. There's that facility up in Perry County that was built during the Riley administration by a private company that, y'all, it's never been used. I mean, we hadn't had any of our inmates in there.
Well, why is that?
It got built by this private company, but then, you know, we changed hands from the Riley administration to the Bentley administration. Mm-hmm. They had different priorities, different ideas. So is
Alabama going to buy it?
Alabama's just going to buy it outright. Okay. And we're going to get that thing for pennies on the dollar.
Well, how are we going to fund the plan to build these and to, you know, remodel, et cetera? Where's that money coming from?
Well, part of it is going to have to come from a bond issue. You know, good old-fashioned bonding, that's just a governmental function that governments have done for, gosh, hundreds of years going back. Part of it will come from the American Recovery Plan money as well.
That's the COVID money, the pandemic money.
That is the pandemic money.
Because they sent out, I mean, didn't the state of Alabama get over a billion with a B dollars?
That's about 1.6, 1.7, somewhere in that neighborhood.
And I believe Senator Elliott was speaking on Dr. Liu's show about that this week, is that some of it they can use because it's not specifically earmarked, and some of it they can't.
Correct. Well, and some of that money was always supposed to governmentally go to your state and your county and your municipal governments to refund costs for COVID preparation and things of that nature, but also recoup some of the money that was lost in terms of tax dollars because of the economic uncertainty
right.
that
but,
we've
but
seen.
It seems like they've handed out a lot more money than was lost. I mean, the state of Alabama didn't lose $1 billion in tax revenue, did they?
Honestly, Lori, I don't have those figures.
And
I don't know that we necessarily have those figures all together yet, to be completely honest.
Okay. All right. Was that special session just prison reform and that's all?
It was literally just prison construction, and there was actually a little sentencing reform bill that also passed as well.
Okay. So when do they reconvene?
Well, now for regular session, again, it'll be in January of 22, but we are probably going to have one more special session later this month, beginning of next month. And that's going to focus on redistricting, which because of the 2020 census, mm-hmm. every 10 years you got to redraw some of those lines, make sure you've got districts that have roughly the same amount of folks so that everybody's vote, you know, matters the same amount. And that'll be an interesting process. There's already a lot of talk, and there have been meetings. We had one in Fairhope a few weeks ago. The redistricting committee kind of zoomed in and had a public meeting with a bunch of folks there. I would not be surprised, Lori, and this is all conjecture, but just stuff I'm hearing from up in Montgomery and elsewhere. I would not be surprised if you saw our little Baldwin County delegation maybe pick up a senator and maybe a House member as well.
Well, that's good news, because there was a fear we could lose a position if enough people didn't fill out the census.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, that's always a huge concern. But with the growth that we've seen in Baldwin County, fastest growing county in the state, we felt pretty good about that. But they may push over one of the Mobile senators to pick up a few numbers in Baldwin County. And
well, don't they do that already? Like, Matt Simpson is Mobile and Baldwin, isn't he?
He is.
That's confusing.
Well, no, not really. I mean, some districts, if you think about it, like, go to other parts of the state, and the best example I can give you is what I know, and that's back home in Lee County. And in Lee County, you have got multiple representatives and senators that span several districts to make up the population numbers they need
right,
to do their districts.
That was my next question. Why is public input needed? Why are we having these public input meetings when it's all about population and a map and drawing it so that it meets the population requirements. What do we input?
Well, there are a number of organizations that always like to give input on stuff. When we were there that day.
What does it really accomplish?
Well, you'd be surprised. Sometimes there are questions or concerns raised by the public that maybe the reapportionment committee hadn't thought of. For example, the League of Women Voters was there for this thing, and they were advocating, maybe not necessarily at the state level, but at the federal congressional level, that Alabama's population numbers could merit the creation of another majority-minority district. We only have one right now. That's District 7, Representative Terry Sewell. With the numbers and the way that they are in some parts of the state, there could be an argument made that there might need to be another such district. So it's raising concerns or questions that, you know, the public always has a right to have input and give their ideas to folks, because sometimes, you know, Lord, we don't know what we don't know. Sometimes they might see an issue or a problem don't necessarily see.
I'm glad they're not looking at it as just black and white, a map and population numbers.
No, sometimes there are other considerations.
Yeah, that's very good.
And the idea to try to keep as many voting precincts whole as possible and try to keep as many districts, keep from splitting counties too terribly much as you possibly can. It's going to happen. You just have to do it sometimes. But it's trying to keep the map from looking all wonky, because we've all seen some of those maps where the districts look like somebody just drew a little squiggle somewhere in the middle.
Right, but that's an attempt to get the population right.
Sometimes,
division of population.
And sometimes in the past it's a process called negative process called gerrymandering, where you're narrowly drawing a district to serve the needs of a particular political party or candidate, which has happened in the past. I'm not accusing Alabama of doing that, because I love Alabama, but there's one, I think it's up in Pennsylvania, that there's a district that it is just wild looking, and there's some organization, I can't remember the name of it, that every few years does the worst gerrymandered district in the country, and this one in Pennsylvania just about wins it every time, because it's a big old square and then a little thin line that connects it to like another
neighborhood. Joe over in the other neighborhood.
The weirdest looking little thing.
That's crazy. All right, well, thank you. We will continue our conversation here again in just a moment. We're speaking with Cliff McCollum from the Baldwin County Legislative Office.
I'm meteorologist John Noda.
You're with Lori Dubose as we continue our conversation with Cliff McCollum. And apparently John Nodar wants to join in again.
Look, John is just so passionate about what he's here talking to us about. And I appreciate his passion.
I love John.
He's the best.
He's great. So Cliff McCollum with the Baldwin County Legislative District. You're unable to stick around for Swap Shop, which we will miss, but we'll have you in another time. And I do have guests coming with the Fairhope Pirate Boosters Club to talk about their big casino night in Swap Shop.
No, and that'll be way more entertaining than I could ever hope to be.
Parting thoughts. What would you like to say we haven't covered?
Well, I will say this. Y'all, coming up in 2022, of course, we've got another regular legislative session, but we've also got elections coming up next year, and all of our state offices, including my bosses, our representatives and senators, will be up for election or re-election since we got a few retiring. Be aware of that. Start looking and seeing maybe who's running, looking at the issues. Reach out to folks if you want to know where they stand on stuff. But get educated, because I think the best way that we can have good folks representing us up in Montgomery and everywhere else is just get educated. Vote for the folks that are going to vote for what you want them to vote for.
Exactly. All right. Well, Cliff, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us the second Friday of each month, officially at 8:20 for Community Contact. And then you can just join us anytime on Swap Shop.
I always tend to.
So we do the serious stuff during Community Contact, and then Swap Shop is the cut-up portion of your program.
Which means Lori goes to get a cup of coffee while Mark and I...
Just let y'all do your bromance thing, and I can kick back. So we'll try to get you next week, since we have a guest on today and you can't stay.
No, I would love to.
Okay. It is now.